Wow! Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed!
Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed!
Hallelujah! Up here and probably a couple around. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Man, I'm so glad to see all of you. Great to have you here. A lot of you have journeyed with us this past week, and if you were not able to make it, let me catch you up. We started last Sunday with Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry and all the palms and the hosannas. Then we had Maundy Thursday. And the week sort of begins to take on this heaviness with the Last Supper and the foot washing and Jesus' commissioning that we love one another as he has loved us. And then there was the pain and the seeming finality of Good Friday and the cross and Jesus' death. The journey is heavy. The journey is holy. We left Friday's service and Jesus was dead and buried. The cross was empty, the tomb was full, and it was sealed. And the disciples were scattered, and they were afraid, and they were grieving. In fact, early Sunday morning, as Mary Magdalene makes her way to the tomb, she's still grieving. She went to the tomb expecting to attend to the lifeless body of Jesus in order to finish whatever burial dressing did not get done before Friday's Sabbath. Mary Magdalene is grieving and she's just devastated. When she finds the tomb empty, she's not joyful. She's not thinking, "Ah, it happened." She thinks what you and I would think. Somebody stole the body. It's just salt in an already deep wound. And so she goes to get Peter and John, and they don't really have any answers either, because they know as well as you and I know that death is the end of the road. That is where Easter starts. Easter changes everything. And we left the services on Friday, and we knew the rest of the story. But these disciples, I mean, even though Jesus said that he was going to rise on the third day, they didn't have a category for that. They never saw it coming. The tomb is empty. The garments are folded up. It never occurs to them that Jesus rose from the dead because death is the end. And even for us, knowing the story as we do, sometimes it's hard to believe that it's not just a fairy tale. Hard to believe that it's not just a fable or a metaphor. Excuse me, I've got that thing. But it's hard to believe that it's not just another way of saying that good things happen in the end. But no, Easter is a declaration. In the face of a world gone mad, Easter is the declaration of a defiant and historic hope that the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on Friday, actually, bodily, historically, rose on Sunday morning. His rising is the undoing of death, and his rising offers us eternal life. Easter declares that Christ is alive, and you are here to hear it. And you're here to sing it. And you're here to pray it. And you're here to look good doing it. And you are, man. Hashtag winning. Y'all look great. But then afterwards, you're going to hunt for some Easter eggs. And then you're going to go home and you're going to eat too much ham or lamb or whatever it is that you eat. And you're going to take a nap and you're going to watch NC State beat Duke. And then... and then tomorrow, you got to go back to work. Or back to school. Or wherever it is that you go. You got to live your life. And you got to face the reality of what the doctor said. Or you have to reach back out to your adult child who never answers your texts. Or you got to figure out how to get more than 3 hours worth of sleep per night with this kid. Or whatever it is. Because let me tell you, everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. And some of you have a lot of somethings. And maybe more than you need to know today why the resurrection of Jesus matters, you need to know why the resurrection of Jesus matters tomorrow. And you need to know why the resurrection of Jesus matters on Friday night. And you need to know why the resurrection of Jesus matters next Sunday morning when you're trying to decide, should I go back to that church or should I just roll over? Is the resurrection of Jesus more than just historically odd or theologically interesting? I mean, so far removed are you from Jesus' resurrection, so busy as you are with kids and with work or with grandkids or paying the mortgage or whatever it is. I mean, does the resurrection of Jesus have any real, meaningful, impactful intersection with your actual life? And the answer is yes. It would have been weird if I said no, right? Yes. Uniquely among the four Gospels, John highlights Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb. And from Jesus' interaction with Mary Magdalene there, there are about a million things we could talk about, but this morning I want to highlight just one. One thing about why the resurrection of Jesus matters in your life. Normally there's 3 points, but you know, happy Easter. So, the resurrection of Jesus means that Jesus is with you in every circumstance. Jesus is with you in every circumstance. Now that might sound to some of you trite, or kind of old-fashioned, like something your grandma would have had cross-stitched on her pillow. But the truth is that most people live their lives under the assumption that they're on their own. Like if God even really knows who I am, he probably has more important things to worry about. Or worse, that God actually does know the thing that is dominating your life. He does know the thing that is breaking your heart, but since he doesn't seem to be doing anything about it, he probably either can't do anything about it, or he just doesn't care. Neither of those two options are very attractive. And everybody in this room has felt one of those things at some point in their life. And Mary Magdalene surely felt that at this point, there is just nothing God can do. I mean, Jesus was dead and his body was missing. Maybe God could help them find the body. Her grief is so deep. She sees two angels. They're in the empty tomb. They were not there just a minute ago. She looks in, they see, and they ask why she's crying, and she doesn't go, "Wow, angels!" Or she doesn't go, like, fall to the ground in fear. She just says through tears, like, "They've taken away my Lord." That's where Jesus meets her. In the moment of her grief, in the time of her deepest need. She never could have imagined the solution that God was going to give her. If those angels had asked Mary Magdalene, "What is it that you want?" she would have said, "I want the body back." God did not give her the solution that she would have asked for. He gave her what she needed. And of course, in the end, it was far better. Friends, God is in the business of raising dead things to life. And the resurrected Savior is available to you. Now, I don't know if he is going to give you the solution that you're asking for. But I cannot tell you how many times in my life he did not give me what I asked for, but he opened another door that I never even knew existed. Like if I had gotten that job 10 years ago that I thought I should have gotten, I wouldn't be here today, but I sure am glad I am. If that girl in college I thought I was going to marry hadn't had the nerve to break up with me, I wouldn't have fallen in love with Amy, but boy, I sure am glad I did. And like everybody else, I mean, I got some sad things, I got some unfinished things in my life now that I'm just curious how in the world the Lord is going to work this out. But you know what? I know that he will. Because he always has. Now, sometimes he takes his sweet time, doesn't he? He's going to work it out. Listen, Jesus wasn't resurrected right up to heaven. He could have been. It would have made sense. It's what you and I are going to get. But he was resurrected back into this world. And that has a lot of implications. But one thing it must mean is that he cares about this world and he cares about what happens to his followers in this world. The very first thing he does after the resurrection is he attends to the need of one of his followers. He comes right to her. And you know, there's this strange line right towards the end of the passage. It kind of reads like Mary Magdalene realizes it's Jesus and he says, "Oh, go tell my disciples," right? I cannot begin to imagine that there weren't at least several minutes of hugging and joyful crying and "I can't believe it" and "Is it really you?" But once Mary Magdalene has kind of gotten a handle on the reality of the situation, Jesus does, I think joyfully, send her to the disciples. And the way he says it, though, or at least the way that John, the author, reports it, it's just always struck me as odd. He says, "Go tell my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Why not just say, "Go tell the boys that I rose again"? Why not just say, "Go tell the fellas that I'm ascending to the Father"? Like, why go through the way he said it? So I started digging around. And here's what I found. Nowhere else in the Gospel of John does Jesus call his disciples brothers. And nowhere else in John's Gospel does Jesus ever use the phrase, "your Father" or "your God." Now in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell the story a little bit different way. They have Jesus teaching about your Father all the time. Like when he says, "When you pray, pray our Father." Right? He teaches that a lot in those Gospels, but not in John. Uniquely, John, in his telling of the Jesus story, has reserved that kind of language for this moment. For the resurrection. And the new reality that the resurrection brings. Because what he's saying is that there's this dramatic promotion. Not just disciples, not even friends. John is making the point now, they're family. They're his brothers. And God is their Father just as much as he is Jesus' Father. Which means for us also, it's the resurrection that grants us this incredible status. We are family. Not servants, not even friends. We are in God's family. We are his children. And in fact, John has been hinting at this since the first chapter, verse 12, where he says that all who receive Jesus, all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Now, this might not actually be new language for us. We hear a lot that we're all God's children. But let me point out that when we are living under the assumption that in our life, as we actually live it, that God actually probably doesn't even know our name, or if he does, he's not attentive to our situation, the fact that we are God's children is the last thing on our mind. Why does the resurrection change our status? What is John getting at? And I think it must be, has to be, that on Good Friday's cross, Jesus took on himself everything that ever has or ever will come between us and God. And all our misdeeds, all of our selfish acts, all of the ways that we've hurt others, all of the things that we've ever been ashamed of, all the things done and left undone. He took it all. He cleared the deck. The barrier is removed. The wall is taken down. And then in the resurrection, since death is undone and sin is overcome, the bridge is built. The gap is closed. The separation is ended. The resurrection offers us life with the Father with a familial closeness. That's what Jesus had, and that's what we were made for. That's what St. Paul was getting at when he said that we are co-heirs with Christ. If we're children of God, then we are heirs of God. And so no matter what is going on in your life right now, good or bad, if you believe in Jesus, there is nothing truer about you than that you are a child of God. And there is nothing truer about the Father than that he is a good, good Father. And so do this for me, okay? Or do it for yourself. Whatever that huge nagging something is, pray to the resurrected Lord. Pray to Jesus. He's alive. He's ready to listen. Tell him all about it. And ask him to attend to that thing. Ask him for a miracle. And stay with him. Keep asking. In fact, get somebody else to ask with you. Your clergy would love to be part of that. And then keep your eyes open. Because he may just open a door that you never knew was there. Jesus asked Mary, "Why are you weeping?" I wonder what he might be asking you. Jesus is with you in every circumstance. The resurrection guarantees it. So, hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.